Hi, I'm Carl Randall, and welcome back to another episode of the Frontline Security Podcast. Now, with me today is Tim Wren. Now, Tim, like one of our previous guests, Mark, makes up one half of the Bouncer Bros duo. And today, we're going to be talking all about Tim's security industry experience, why security is the perfect side hustle, and what you can expect from the Bouncer Bros in the future. This is what's coming up.
People have got it wrong when it comes to bouncers just want to fight or door supervisors just want to fight. They don't.
Doesn't matter how hard you think you are, yeah. You're not going to do it.
I've seen some crazy things, mate. A lot of crazy things. She looked down, looked at me, smiled and laughed. I think once you hit that stage, you're the bad guy then. You're no longer a respected individual or door supervisor. You're just the bad guy. Looked at her, she's looked at me, thought, oh my God, you're going to save me, you are.
So Tim, first of all, thank you very much for joining me today.
No problem, it's a pleasure to be here.
Yeah, I mean, we've been working together for the past 2 years or so.
2 years, yeah.
And this is the first time we've met.
Well, yeah, glad to meet you.
Glad to meet you. So let's go right to the beginning of your security industry career. What made you choose security?
Back when I was around 14, I went on work experience in the army. I always wanted to go in the army, watching films and stuff like that. And it kind of like captivated me because, you know, helping my country, helping people, whether it's like going out to certain countries building shelters or whatnot. It really fascinated me, that kind of lifestyle and the routine of it. But unfortunately, I had a brain operation when I was 14. So, and then I had seizures. So that meant I couldn't join the army, because obviously join the army, you've got to have life to preserve life. So I kind of swayed from that. And then I thought, well, you know, I had a whole career path, join the army, come out, do 4 years and then become a bodyguard. That's what originally I wanted to do, but that couldn't happen for obvious reasons. So then obviously school went by, I started to grow, hit puberty, started to become a bigger lad. And then from then people have started going, oh, you're a big lad, you know, would you be a doorman? I'm like, well, I've never really thought about being a doorman. Like, what is there that I can, you know, give to being a doorman? What are my attributes of to be a doorman? Because, you know, it looks like a hard job. It is a hard job, isn't it? But I was just always been told you look like a doorman. Any time I went out into a club, people would ask me, because I always wear black. Black's my thing. The way I dress, I look like a doorman. So I'd be like out in a smoking area. Oh, you a doorman? Do you work here? I'm like, nah, mate. Like, I'm not a doorman. So I've always thought about being a doorman. Then I was like, shall I do it? Shall I not? And then it was. I think, how do I become a doorman then? And then it was like, I was working as a youth worker, and on that project, it was only a 5-year project, so I worked 3 years of the 5 years, the last 3 years of the project. And when it came to the end to make us redundant, it was like, we'll pay for a course for you to do to then get another job because we're making you redundant. So I was like, yeah, I'll do my door supervisor. Let's have a crack at that. So I think I was 23, maybe 22. 2017, end of, I'd done my supervisor course. That got paid and I become a doorman. Yeah. And I haven't stopped ever since, really. That's the old story as to why I'm a doorman.
But if people are going to call you a doorman, say you look like a doorman, you might as well get paid
for
it.
Might as well be a doorman, yeah.
So going back, I know you mentioned there that you had your brain surgery. So on reflection, going back, and you wanted to be in the army, would you still go down the same route now of going into security?
Yeah, probably more so. Pretty quicker. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'd maybe when I turned 18, I'd probably gone straight to being a doorman. Yeah. because I enjoy it now. Why not?
You mentioned there, obviously, when you were 17, you had a big growth spurt, and you are a big guy.
Yeah.
How tall are you?
6'3".
6'3". Do you think being big helps you be a better security professional?
Not necessarily better. I'd say being big, obviously, it helps. Obviously, as a deterrent. Not like I'm going to go and grab somebody and pull them out. It's not like that these days, is it? It's more communicational, intelligence-based, and, you know, like talking to people more than brain over brawn. That's 100%. What I'd say the job is. So being a big guy does help, but you don't necessarily need to be a big guy. There's situations where a big guy is probably not going to be permitted. So you might want somebody smaller on a certain job or a certain door, or you might want a big guy on another door. I don't know. You know, it's just all depends on the job and where you're working, what you're doing. I think, yeah. So yeah, I don't think necessarily being a big guy. I think any size fits.
Yeah, and being a big guy, do you think you're expected to kind of deal with any altercations first? Do you reckon they send you in, basically?
I've had that in the past, yeah, where people have shouted out for me, and it's like, yeah, all right, I'll go and deal with it. But then it's like, you don't need to be a big, you don't need to rely on big people to deal with stuff, because it's not all about, again, like I said, it's not all about brawn. It's all about talking to that individual in that problem, in that situation, at that time. It's all about, you know, it's the elements of that situation, what's happened, where's it happened, who's it happened with, and just trying to put all that together rather than going in there, storming in like a big guy I am, sort of swinging people around. You can't do that.
And we were talking before this podcast about some of your activities and stuff you do outside of security, and one of them is a mixed martial arts, kickboxing. How important is it for security professionals to stay fit and active?
I think it's very important for security professionals to stay fit and active. I believe there's a lot of elements to working in security to be fit and active. You need to be fit and active for. So saying like, I worked response at a festival. So you've got to get from A to B pretty quick. If you're sitting at home on the sofa eating donuts and drinking coffee, I don't think you're going to get to A to B as quick as somebody who's jogging around a block every morning 5 miles. So, yeah, for that instance, I do think that you need to be physically fit. Appearance-wise, it's also a deterrent, isn't it, being physically fit? Because, you know, people might look at you and be like, well, I know he does train and he can do, I don't know, he might be able to look after himself, so let's not. But if you're there, you know, you've got a big gut, struggling to stand up, half asleep, because you've ate too many donuts, then they might just try. And I mean, yeah, so being physically fit, endurance as well, standing long hours, you've got to stand there, say what, 10 hours, maybe 6 hours at the most with a break. You know, you've got to stand there for and do your job, be alert, for one. If you're drinking all these caffeine drinks and you've got a downer and you can't really, your body's not really fit enough to cope with it, and you start becoming lethargic and incompetent, you know, and stuff can pass you, man. Like, you've got to be alert, you've got to be on the ball, you've got to watch what you're doing constantly, head on a swivel.
And people might say, oh, he's doing kickboxing and stuff so he can fight on a night out. And people have got this just completely wrong perception of people.
Yeah, I think I just do it for, you know, discipline, just self respect, really. You know, just giving my body a healthy lifestyle. I think not necessarily do it for the job. I just do it to keep myself fit and healthy. I'm not looking to fight anybody. If anything, I want you to have a great night, a good time when you come out, obviously, or whatever you're doing. I don't want to disrupt your day in any kind of way. I think people have got it wrong when it comes to bouncers who just want to fight or door supervisors just want to fight. They don't. We don't want that. We want to go back home to our kids, to our families, and live a good life. We're just like anybody else, just going to work, earning the money, paying the bills. We just choose to be a door supervisor rather than whatever else work is out there. And I think that's a big misconception people have.
Want the shift to be as easy as possible.
As easy as possible, mate. In, out, have a good night, see you later. I'll see you next weekend. That's literally how I want it.
So speaking of shifts, you mentioned before that you've worked at festivals, and obviously you work in the Spoons in Wolverhampton.
Yep.
But where else have you worked?
I've worked all over the UK. I've worked on a tour doing CP.
Who was that with?
For non-binding disclosure, I can't tell you who it was with. But yes, we've done a tour with a very famous Punjabi singer, is what I'll say.
It might be a big giveaway. But
but yeah, so we've done a tour with him throughout the UK. We've done six places he was in the UK, so we've done a tour with him. That was great. I've worked Britain's Got Talent. I've worked at a live vet show. So this live vet show that was actually operating on a horse.
A live vet show?
Yeah, a vet show. So it was called The Vet Show.
Right.
And it was all veterinary companies there. And they was performing an operation on a live horse. It was crazy, mate. Like, and this place is where I worked.
And were you there in case the horse got up?
Well, I was there just like, you know, checking tickets, you know, welcoming people in, making sure they know where everything is, toilets, exits, blah, blah, blah. And yeah, so I've worked at Live Vet Show.
And Britain's Got Talent, you mentioned Britain's Got Talent there. What was that like?
That was pretty funky, man. They've got bands and all these jugglers and magicians and singers, dancers. Obviously, what you see on there, the various things.
Some crazy people.
It's crazy people, mate. There's all lined up and ready to go and eager. You're just watching them going by, doing their thing, and it was the vibe is just great. You know, on a day like that, the shift goes, but then the vibes are good, man. People are enjoying themselves. You know, you get to meet some famous people. Then you get to meet people who actually you'll see on screen when you're watching it.
We're trying to be famous.
I'm trying to be, yeah. But yeah, Britain's Got Talent. That was great. What else? Pubs, clubs, you name it, I've been in all around Wolverhampton. I think there's only four places I haven't worked in Wolverhampton. And Birmingham, I've worked London, Manchester, Liverpool.
Everywhere.
Pretty much everywhere I've been around.
And out of all those places, I'm pretty sure I know what you're going to say here. Mark said it was the Wetherspoons. But where's your most enjoyable place you've worked at?
My most enjoyable place? I'd say Spoons is probably my second. But it was in a bar with Mark.
Okay, so you won't be heard of that.
No. So it's the Billy Wright. It's probably my favourite place to work on a match day, in the Billy Wright. You got the Indian over the road. You know, he sorts us out because when he has trouble, he'll call us and we'll go over and sort it out. So we get free curry. So he brings curry over on a match day. And then, yeah, man, you're just, you know, vibing it through the day. You know, people walking past, you know, you're having a bit of banter. People, I suppose when you work the door in your hometown, a lot of people are going to know you because obviously you live there, you live around that area. People know you already. And then once you work in those match days, you're around a lot of people. A lot of people are talking. So you get to know quite a multitude of people in your hometown. So then it becomes, you know, it's not like you're at work. It's like that you're just out for the day at the pub, but you're at work. Obviously, we're at work, but you're still switched on. It's not like I'm not digging myself an hole.
I do right. Still work, I promise.
I do. But yeah, it's Billy Wright has got to be in some of the best times on that door. Because of the people, like, it's not so much the work, it's It's who's around, what's happening on that day. It's great. It's just a great vibe to be around.
So you mentioned that Spoons is number two, Billy Wright is number one.
Billy Wright is number one.
They're both working on the Doors.
So what
about working on the Doors is it that you love?
Oh, it's just the environment, I think. It's that I'm out. Like, I'm out, but I'm not out. I'm just out. That's what I feel like I am. Like,
you're getting paid to be out.
I'm getting paid to be out. It's a social aspect for me because it's like I can go out but not work and be buying drinks and paying stuff for my mates and doing whatever, paying in and this and that, where I can just work, get paid, but still have that kind of same environment, do you know what I mean? And I think that's what I kind of like about the Doors. It's that, you know, I get to see, you make friends, you know, when you're at a door and you're a regular door, you get to meet all the regular people that go into that venue. And that they'll be that you'll notice when you start working, or if you do work, you'll know who's who, and who will come and who will go, and who's there to stay. And then obviously you just make friends, you know, it's lifetime friends. Some of them, and I have made lifetime friends through the Doors. It's a crazy industry to work, and it's beneficial as well. You know, I met a guy, you know, we became friends, and he was a barber. I was getting my hair cut for free until I was bald. You know, it's the benefits from working. Not necessarily like, you're not trying to get that, but that's what can come of it. Do you know what I mean? It's not like you're going there, oh yeah, you're going to give my hair a cut, you know, because I'm letting you in. No, you become friends with people and they like you, you like them, and you know, you hit it off, and that's what happens with friendships, isn't it? But yeah. I think social aspect through the Doors. I think that's why I enjoy doing it.
Yeah, and you mentioned there that working in security, it's a crazy industry to be in. So you must have seen some pretty crazy things.
I've seen some crazy things, mate. A lot of crazy things in my time. 7 years of it. Do you want me to go through some?
Yeah.
I'll tell you loads of crazy things if you want. But the viewers, mate. The followers of Get Licensed and our viewers may have seen this already, but there was a guy washing his wig in the sink. Oh, why would you wash your wig in the sink?
That was at Spoons, wasn't it?
I walked down there and I said, mate, I said, what are you doing washing your wig in the sink? And he just sort of looks like, well, I don't know. I didn't know I couldn't do it, mate. And I'm just like, yeah, mate, we serve food in here. You know what I mean? You can't be washing wigs and stuff in there. So.
Was he in fancy dress? Or
no, mate, just literally... just clothes and a suitcase. I think he worked at the wig shop and he was trying to get some free water. I don't know. I'm still to this day trying to see what he was trying to do. But nah, I can't get my head around it.
Get some characters.
That's a bit crazy. I thought about these questions as well. Crazy. How crazy?
Crazy.
I was working at Yates's. It is now Slug and Lettuce. But I was working at Yates's on a block party. Block party is like a student night. It's the event of the night on a Thursday night. All the students in Wolverhampton. It used to be a busy night. It was packed. Like, I'm saying, like, people are touching shoulders. But this night was, you know, we just opened. These three girls come in. And I'm stood on, like, the dance floor. Could say a dance floor. There's, like, two different levels. That was a dance floor. That's a dance floor. One had a pole, like you had a pole in the middle. I'm just chilling on the corner of these two dance floors so I can see what's going on in both directions. These three girls are dancing on this dance floor and I'm looking at them and you know, they're all right, are they? And one of them fell over. That's like, I heard her fall over and I'm thinking, what's going on here? You know, so I'll go and help her up. So I helped her up. The dress at the top, It was a bit loose, and her friends popped out to say hello, and I was like, you know, you've got a problem. She looked down, looked at me, smiled and laughed. I'm thinking, do you want to like put them away, kind of thing? She's like, she just didn't know. I think she was a bit drunk, So she was oblivious to what had happened. So I'm like trying to point to them, obviously trying to not to be like crude or anything. And, you know, because a guy looking, it's a bit weird. So I was just like, yeah, like I told a mate, I nudged a mate, and a mate sorted them out for her. But yeah, that was pretty crazy. Is it crazy? I don't know. It's just weird.
Maybe she was just saying, thank you for helping me up. And
yeah. It was the end of the night, 1 o'clock. You know, we give a grace of 15 minutes. So 1:15, we would like everybody out of the venue. Who's working? Billy Wright. I was with Mark. So, and then it was like, I think 1:30. So we've gone 15 minutes over and we're not getting paid anymore. Do you know what I mean? So if you're not getting paid, you don't want to be at work. And there's this group of like 15, 20 people still drinking. It's Christmas time. So they're out for the works too. Obviously tanked up because it's the end of the night. We've gone, guys, come on now, like, you're taking the mickey out. We just want you to leave so we can then pack up and go home. And because I worked elsewhere, I needed to go, but we couldn't go before they went. So then one of them started arguing with Mark. And I said, look, guys, you've got to go. You know, we've been more than happy to accommodate you for 10 minutes extra, 15 minutes extra, can you now leave? And then that was it, man. I think they seen red and started fighting us. So me and Mark, just two guys, you got like five women and 15 men just going AWOL. So I think it was me and Mark looked at each other and we was like, we've got to do what we can do in this situation. Like, it's happening. Like, this is the worst nightmare for a doorman to be in, especially two. And you've got no help coming through the radio. So you're trying to radio, you're trying to deal with stuff, and it's like, what's going on? So I think because me and Mark work so well together, it's like we just know what to do. And it's because we're in sync. It's kind of like we work in sync. It's crazy, like, that bond that we have, it's crazy. So, yeah, we're just getting these people out and it was just like, what is going on? Like, these women are getting stilettos off, trying to get us in our heads. And I'm like, what's... like, yeah, so you can imagine, guys are throwing punches and we're just like, yeah, we're just pushing them out the door one by one. We're going out, coming back in. They're trying to open the door, trying to boot the windows in. And I'm like, what is going on? So, eventually, because it was snowing outside, you see, I don't think this is crazy. I think this is a bit funny. Because it was snowing outside, as we was like getting them out the door, they was all falling over the ice outside because there was a chunk of ice. So they was all going like skittles and it was crazy. I think 20 people, I mean, that's a bit too much for two, but we done it. We got them out. And I think luckily that night we didn't get hurt.
Yeah. I think the annoying thing is that so you're saying that people stayed 10, 15 minutes. And to them, they're thinking, it's only I'll an extra 10, drink, 15 yeah. minutes. But they don't realise that, yes, you've got other job commitments, you've got other places to be, and then just see red.
Yeah. It's a bit, yeah. I think once you hit that stage, you're the bad guy then. You're no longer a respected individual or door supervisor. You're just the bad guy because you're trying to take something away from somebody that doesn't want it taken away. So I think in that moment can get heated. And I think then when punches are being thrown, talking's quite out the window and you've got to, you know, obviously restrain and then...
do what you can.
Eject people. And I don't really like doing that, but on that night, mate, that was crazy and that had to happen. And I mean, yeah, I'm sorry.
Well, let's go back to more positive things.
Yeah, man.
So what would you say is your most proudest moment? One moment in your security career that you can look back on and be like, I've actually really made a difference.
Really made a difference. I've actually tried, like, I've got a few things that I'm proud of in my security career. I mean, on a day-to-day basis, mate, I can be proud of anything. But my most proudest moment of my security industry is I left work at around 3 a.m. in the morning, so I popped the world shut. I That went sweet. So I come outside, and you can imagine, obviously, after everybody leaving, like, you've got, like, people chilling, people talking, people waiting for taxis, people going to kebab shop. So anyway, I've finished. I'm on the way to go down to Gorgeous to do another night, another shift there, because they open till 6 a.m. So I'm doing 3 till 6 there. So I'm walking down, and I see a young lady with a skirt and a short-cut top, and a guy with her. And there was a guy on the bench sat next to her. And I looked at them and I thought, you've got baseline behaviours, you know, and what's the norm and what's not the norm. And I looked at him and her and thought, that ain't normal. Like, you would not see a guy like him with a girl like that. And I mean, people say don't judge, but you've got to judge in these situations. Like, so I've looked over, I'm like, she's like all cowardly and like timid and kind of crying. He's all like, give me predator vibes. And I kind of knew with the situation, I've looked over, he's got his hand up her skirt, and I'm thinking, nah, mate, you definitely don't belong here. So I've walked over, looked at her, she's looked at me, thought, oh my God, you're going to save me, you am. I'm like, Bab, like, our taxi's here now, we've got to go. Like, seen the guy, he looked at me, I looked at him, I give him the old, yeah, you know what you're doing wrong, mate, you don't want to catch me. I'm thinking I've got to get to my shift, but you don't want to catch me after my shift, mate, because, you know, I would deal with it. But yeah, luckily enough, I said, Bab, like, we've got to go. Our taxi's here, we've got to go, like. And she looked at me like, thank God, like, what's going on? So I was just, and as she got, like, her mate was already on the way to get out anyway. So she got in a taxi, and I've walked back down, and I'll give him a mouthful. So yeah, I think that's my proudest moment, saving a girl from a guy like that.
You just don't know what could have happened if you weren't there.
If I was not there, mate, I reckon she would have been taken, or worse.
See, I suppose, I mean, I don't know how passionate you are about working in security, but besides just earning a living, making money, what is it that's really meaningful to you, working in security?
I think what's meaningful for me is making sure everybody is safe and everybody's having a good time. It's not all about checking IDs and, you know, keeping policies in place and following rules and regulations. I think when it comes down to it, I'm passionate about keeping people safe. I think that's my biggest thing in security, and that's why I do it, because obviously wanting to join the army, it's that routine, you know, and I get routine from it. Friday, Saturday, Sunday, I'm at work, I know what I'm doing, I know what I'm wearing, it's all ready, I'm prepared, I know what's going to happen, I know the risk I'm going to take. But yeah, I think the main thing for me is, you know, giving people that safe night that they're coming out for and not that bad night that they don't want and that they've not come out for. I think that's why I'm passionate about it.
Yeah.
I think that's the one thing for me.
And speaking of, obviously, customers coming in and out, you get very difficult customers.
Yeah.
What would you say is your biggest pet peeve when it comes to people coming into your venue?
Peeve. I like everybody. I get along with pretty much everybody I come across. Anybody who shakes my hand, they know. I think they just know that I'm not about bad vibes. I'm not about being that guy to ruin your night. But my biggest pet peeve is probably people who come to the door with white noses. we just know. We know. When you're experienced in that job, in the line of doing the doors on a weekend, and people want to have some devil's dandruff, and they've got it all around their nose, and they want to come in, and they're looking at you with their dry mouth and their wide eyes, it's a bit like, mate, you need to go home. Like, I think it's your end of the night here, mate. But yeah, that, I think that's my biggest pet peeve. Actually, yeah. So I've got another pet peeve. There's a few, but I'll give you two. So being disrespectful to doormen or door supervisors. It's like we're there to do a job. I get that. That's fine. But when you start taking things away or not letting people in, then it gets a bit heated and people kind of lose their tone with you and start being disrespectful, giving you the original slurs of, oh, you're only on £11 an hour, you know, minimum wage, and you're working a door. It's a bit like, mate, like, I love what I do. I do it because you then don't have to. I'm putting my life at risk to give you a better night. And it's almost like I take it a bit personal, but I shouldn't, because, you know, people have a drink and say things that don't mean, but some do, some don't. I don't care, but I respect everybody until the respect isn't there. And I think that's a big thing in this industry, is that doormen get disrespected every single day, or door supervisors in any kind of sector get disrespected because of what they do and because of the bad name that some people put on it. I don't think that should be a thing anymore. I think those were the days of the past. Here, now, the future, the present, we're more respectful. We're not there to punch and kick people out and stop them coming in. We're just there to simply do our job, that what we're getting paid to do. Because if we don't do what we get paid to do, we've then not got a job. So it's a bit like people need to respect that we're getting paid to do a job and not necessarily try and, I don't know, disrespect them in some way. Because I can see how it works. You won't let somebody in. Why won't you let me in? Because you're drunk, mate. I'm sorry. But I'm not drunk now. Am I drunk to you? I believe you are, sir. But then it's that back and forth then. You've got to be able to shut that down. And I think that's a respect. You know, just respect that you may have had a few drinks. He's just doing his job. You know, he's got a livelihood as well. He may have a family at home that he's got to prepare for. Might got a baby coming up. And then he's, you know, not done his job, let you in, you've got drunk, you fell down the stairs, and now you want to sue him. I think just that respect, that mutual respect, I think can go a long way.
Yeah, I think
that's
people,
a pet peeve for me.
I think people forget that obviously door supervisors are humans too. They've got lives, like you said, they've got families and stuff. And I don't understand why it's still there. Because I know, well, most people wouldn't go into a club or a bar if there weren't security there.
Yeah,
especially a club. You're not going to go into a club. It doesn't matter how big you are. I mean, you work in security. You're a big guy. Would you go into a club if there was no security there?
I don't think I would. I think I'd look at it and think, why is there no security here?
Doesn't matter how hard you think you are, you're not going to do it.
Yeah.
So we've talked a lot about, I mean, some of your crazy experiences, and you can see how much you do love working in security. But what advice would you give to someone who is thinking about booking their door supervisor course? They're thinking about joining the security industry. What would you say to them?
I think do it. I think my advice would be do it. And this is what I'll say to everybody who asks this question. Should I be a doorman? Why not? Do you think, if you're asking that question, you must think you have some kind of skills and attributes to be a doorman, to ask, can I be a doorman? And I'd always say, you know, get licensed, get on it, book your course, pay for your badge, work the doors 2 weekends, that's all you've got to work, 2 weekends, depending on how much the course is, maybe 3 weekends. You get your experience, you get the money back that you paid for your badge, and then you know then if you want to carry on working, you carry on working. And I think 9 times out of 10, people will carry on working because it's such an enjoyable job.
And people can either work full-time or they can work part-time security. So yep. I know, Tim, you work part-time, mainly on the weekends, and you've got a full-time job.
Yeah.
What is the full-time job you're currently
working? So, my full-time job, I do cable pulling. So, we're contracted with Virgin Media and O2, and obviously various different companies we do work for. So, lately, we've been doing the highways. So, we've been doing, like, traffic lights, fibre for the traffic lights. So, yeah, I do cable pulling. I pull cable in the day.
Mm. And then weekends?
Weekends, I do
security.
The doors.
Yeah. Security. Which, what would you prefer if you were just going to go down one avenue?
If I could get the same money that I'm getting from my day job as security, it would be security. Because I've got a passion for security. It's got a little place in my heart. I'm a guy that changes job every year. Every year I've had a different job. Apart from the jobs that I've loved, obviously, like youth work, until I got made redundant. But yeah, it would be security.
Mm.
No, it's the only job that I've really stayed in. Yeah, security is probably the job for me. It's the only job that I've stayed in pretty much since I've done it.
And what makes security such a good side hustle for people?
There's work. There's plenty of work out there. I mean, if you check out Get Licensed, Guard Pass app, they're putting jobs up there every week. Do you know what I mean? All you've got to do is create a profile, jump on the app, you know, click on where you want to work, and Bob's your uncle, you've got work. Do you know, it's just that. It's so, like, I can speak to a friend, oh, mate, I'm not at work this weekend, you got anything? Yeah, Sam, I'll get you on the door, or do this, get you on this event. Come meet me. You've got work, mate. There is work. It's not like there isn't work. So they say security isn't needed until it's needed. It's always needed. Like, whether it's a Tesco for a day, or, you know, you might be at a live pet show for a day. There's always work. And I think that's a good thing about security. That there will never be no work. There will always be work.
Yeah, 100%. I mean, I think with the advancements of technology and things, the one industry it's always going to be needed is manned garden, really. It's always going to be there. There's so much demand for it. So, yeah.
And there's so many sectors to work in security. Hundreds of sectors. Hospitals, schools, colleges, universities. I mean, you name it. You walk into somewhere, there's a guard there, or there's a security there, or there's door supervisors, or there's even close protection people, but you might not spot them. But yeah, anywhere you go, there is a guy wearing that badge or wearing that uniform who is security. There's never going to be no work.
Now, speaking of side hustles, you've pretty much got two side hustles alongside security. Yourself and Mark set up Bouncer Bros, which is pretty much TikTok famous. And speaking to him a couple of weeks ago, he said that you were the main driving force behind the channel.
I just love creating content. That's my thing, you know. And I got bored, so I was thinking of ideas, and then I thought back to what I've written previously on my laptop about doing a day in a life. And I thought I could do some on the doors, because in my day job I can't really record things and stuff because of health and safety, and I need to be switched on, because if I'm getting my hand trapped in a winch, you know, because I'm filming it, that's very dangerous. It might go viral, yeah. But yeah, so I was thinking about, what about the doors? So I kind of looked into it, done a little bit of research into it, and I just put in doorman on YouTube, for example, and all it was negative. It was negative. People fighting with bouncers on the door, people giving bouncers a hard time, and there was no, like, positive vibes to being a doorman or a door supervisor. There was no, you know what, is actually funny. Like, it was all doom, gloom and violence. And I was a bit, that's not us. That is not door supervisors. You're only seeing that video because that situation got out of hand very quick, very bad. And you only see one side of it. You don't see the guy spitting at him, pulling his jacket for 20 minutes, before that video.
You never see the build-up.
You never see the build-up. So I thought, let's bring light to being a door supervisor, because we're not bad guys. People, like I said, you'll only see that one side when stuff happens. We're approachable. We get along with people. We want people to have a good night. And I thought, let's put it on its funny side. Let's just do some videos. Let's just do a video. I said to Mark, I said, let's do a video, see how it goes. So we've done a video. The video is, you know, some lads come in. The last one looks a bit young. Anzi's ID. Mark looks back at the group. Is he going to get in? Because he's got a baby face, you know. He's looked back at him and then let him in, and they all cheered. That's literally it. So it's a 30-second video. And it's got over 33 million views. And on the night, it went up to 5 million on the first night that I posted it. And I just thought, how great is that? That people are actually liking and laughing at the fact that, you know, this bouncer ain't all that serious. You know, he's got a humorous side to him. And I think looking at Mark, you'd think that, oh, you know, he's intimidating. Oh, God, he's scary. But when you actually talk to him, he's the soundest guy you'll ever meet. He holds very good value in the industry he works in. He's really good at his job, and I cannot put anything bad to him. I've learned a lot of him, you know, being with him through the years that I have. Pretty much done my whole career with him. Obviously, I've worked elsewhere as well, but yeah, that's why it started, man. I just love creating content. Why consume it when you can create it and earn from it? You know, it's 21st century. We've got the world of our, you know, the world in our palm of our hands, and we can earn money from it. And so, some people are not. I mean, why not? Why are missing the opportunity? I thought.
And the good thing about your channel is, you said there, you're changing people's perceptions of security
professionals. Yeah.
And you're also giving out really helpful, handy advice.
Tips and tricks, what to do and what not to do. And I think that hit it off, man. Like, we was doing, like, short comedy skits, and then Mark was like, actually, you know, let's look at helping people, and because that's what we like to do. And we get real good gratification when we help people on the night. So we kind of put a plan together. Let's do some tips and tricks. We've done one video and it got over like 2 million views, I think. That first week it hit, and it was like, you know, some of the lads were coming to the door. Oh, I really like that tip, you know, I've took it on board, and now I'm going out with a group of my friends instead of my own, and I'm not walking home alone. I'm getting a taxi, you know, it's much safer now, and I feel more confident going out. I was like, we could be on to something here, mate, because I've looked around as well, done the research on it, and there's not really that many tips and tricks about, apart from get licensed, that you post a few. So I thought, yeah, let's crack on with them. Done a few more videos, and, mate, the response that we're getting from them, people are just like, you know what? I get, like, a guy come up to the door, he was like, I love your videos, guys. The tips and tricks. I've told my daughter everything, man. Like, you know, she's like, she knows what to do now, you know. And I think those younger generation that grew up through lockdown, that was 17, now turning 18, haven't really got that, I don't know, awareness. But then watching the videos, they're kind of like, you know what to expect and maybe how to act. I don't know. But you will see more tips and tricks.
Yeah, I'm excited.
Because, man, like, yeah, I just really enjoy helping people. And that, you know, when I was on the way here, a guy actually messaged me from New Zealand. And he was like, mate, I've become a doorman in New Zealand. I've been watching your tips and tricks, and they've helped me out and made me feel more confident in what I'm doing and my job. I'm like, that's just great, isn't it? And I get messages from people like, thanks for helping me, like, I didn't know what to do, such and such, and they've, like, took that tip, and it's, like, changed the whole night. It's crazy, but, yeah, I love it.
Well, yeah, I mean, The Bouncer Bros channel is it's a fantastic channel, and the views are more than well deserved. So, I mean, we've talked all about your security career, but where do you see yourself in the next 5 years, whether it be with the Bouncer Bros TikTok channel or yourself?
Where would I see myself in 5 years? Obviously, TikTok is TikTok. People come and go. I'd like to think that I'm still doing it. You know, I've got things in the pipeline. So, yeah, just keep watching and following. But, yeah, 5 years is a long time, but very short as well. I was actually working an event. This is what I'd like to do. I've been looking for jobs through the SIA to become a security penetrator. It's kind of like testing security levels, you know, man guarding. Are they going to take a bribe if I come in and be like, you know, I'm just going to fill my trolley up and walk out. There's a tenner. Keep it to yourself. So if you do see me, don't let me take that trolley. But yeah, I would like a job with the SIA, obviously full time, doing what I do best, you know, just looking after people or looking after door supervisors, probably being a manager of some sort in the security industry, I think would be a good thing. But yeah, I'm just going to stay in the industry. I'm not going anywhere. So I'm either going to be on the door or I'm going to be a manager. I'm still going to be a door supervisor.
Yeah.
But I have currently done my CP course, so my close protection course with Mark. So, yeah, I do work in close protection. So hopefully I'll get a few good gigs and I'll see where we go.
Who knows?
Yeah. Who knows?
Well, wish you the best of luck.
Thanks, Cole.
And speaking of Mark, just then at the end, I did actually message him yesterday and say, have you got a question for Tim?
Have I got a question?
And he does have a question for you. I've got it here. So it is, if you could have any animal on the doors with you as backup, what would you choose?
If I could have any animal on the doors as backup, what would I have? Oh, that's a good one. It would depend on the situations on the door. I'm going to go with a spider monkey.
A spider monkey? Why?
It's different. People wouldn't expect a monkey to be on the door.
Especially not a spider monkey.
And, you know, like, it would probably stop most of the situations. You know, you can just hop over heads and just be like, yo, guys, what's going on?
You want something nimble and agile.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, can just chill on my shoulder. Yeah, honestly. A spider monkey, it would be.
We're sticking.
Yeah, I've got it.
That's good.
I really want a spider monkey.
It works. Might draw in the punters as well.
Yeah, I mean, that's it.
Well, it's been absolutely fantastic to have you,
Cole.
Tim.
It's been a pleasure.
It's been great finally meeting you. Been far too long. But yeah, I'm sure I'll see you in the future. But thanks again. And thank you very much for watching.
Out.